Well, the Lord bless us this morning. I've been thinking about some of these thoughts for over a month. And so we'd sure like the Lord to feed our souls today. I wrote on the board, righteousness. I want to start in Luke, the 10th chapter and the 25th verse, and read a little here about this conversation between the Lord and this young lawyer, or a lawyer. And it begins by saying, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, 'Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?'" You know, that's a really good question, isn't it? And it's really nice when people ask that in sincerity. "He said unto him," Jesus said this, "'What is written in the law? How readest thou?'" This was probably a scribe. He was someone very familiar with the scriptures, probably. "And he answering said, 'Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself.' And he said unto him, 'Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live.'" Pretty good, wouldn't you say? "But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, 'And who is my neighbor?'" That sounds like a lawyer's question, doesn't it? "And who is my neighbor?" You know, this is a pretty simple saying of the Lord. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love the Lord with all you have. But he was willing to justify himself. He wanted to know, who's my neighbor? So the Lord began to tell him a little parable, or whether it's a parable or whether it happened, I don't know. And Jesus answering said, I guess it happened, he said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side." You know, I wonder what was in this priest's mind. "And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And he went on and he made sure the man was taken care of at his own expense. And he said, 'Which now of these three, thinkest thou, was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves?'" Now, you know, I think about what the Lord could have said to this man. He could have went into a discourse, he could have went into an argument with him about what it means to love your neighbor as yourself. But he just very simply put out there a scenario of somebody that had been hurt, that had been robbed, that was left for half dead. And some of the fellows came along and they went by on the other side. Now, you know, in our minds, we can say, that's terrible. And it was. But I'll tell you what happened to us while we were gone. Right after we got there, the first night or second night, and we were just, oh, we're finally here. And we drove by a place, and there was a man laying by the side of the road. And he looked dead. I figured he might well be dead. He was all sprawled out, not like somebody went to sleep, but maybe somebody got hit or somebody got killed. And so it was a dark place, and we just happened by it, and we was driving, and we were like, you know, what was that? And, you know, things started coming to my mind like, you just got here. You don't want to get into this. What if you go back and the robbers are still there hanging around? And I understand a little more about these guys. It's a lot simpler for them to just go the other side and keep on going. But I'll tell you what, the word of the Lord is good to have in our hearts, isn't it? Because it turned me around. And I went back. And we have an advantage they didn't have. We called 911. And so while we were talking with them, we drove up to this place and said, you know, sir, are you okay? Yeah, I'm okay. So I don't know what his deal was. But, you know, there's something in us, folks, as people, okay? I'm not talking about a sinful nature. There's just something in us that wants to take the easier way. And there's something in us that will justify it if we will allow it. It would have been very easy. Well, it wouldn't have been easy on that one because I couldn't have left a man out there like that. But, you know, it was a temptation to justify. No, I don't want to go back. I want us to think about that aspect of ourselves this morning. Because we want to study a little bit about a subject that is very critical to our lives. It's going to be critical when we come to the judgment day that we bring to the Lord a righteous life. Is that a bad word? Is that something wrong to say a righteous life? You mean you claim to be righteous? Folks, I want to study a little bit this morning and look into what the Lord says. We find ourselves being lawyers in our mind if we're not careful. Little children come by it naturally. He hit me. He did. Well, if I hadn't seen you hit him first, it'd be a different story. Not that two wrongs make a right. But folks, little children, take the trash out. It's not my turn. The command was simple. Take the trash out. It's cold outside. I did it last week. And, you know, they can have all these excuses. And we're not unlike them. We have to look at ourselves in the mirror of reality and see the Word of God and ask Him to prepare us to meet Him in righteousness. Because there's no one without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. And so this morning, I don't know all the reasons why for a month I've carried this so heavy on my heart. And I asked the Lord this morning, because I don't feel capable of reaching into people's hearts, and I'm not. But the Spirit of the Lord can. We want to be ready to meet the Lord. And there is so much justification in the world today. So much justification. Well, isn't it so that the Bible says our righteousness is as filthy rags? Seems to be a favorite scripture. I hear it many times when I'm talking with people. I've heard that scripture. Doesn't it say that there is no man, what is it, righteous? No, not one. You know, I want us to look a little bit at some things. Without lawyer talk this morning, just simply look at the words of life that are written to us. There is something so wholesome this morning about righteousness. About that thing in our heart being right. Can you be right in your heart? We must be right in our heart. Because only the pure is going to stand before God, folks. We must be right in our heart. And so, I want to look at a few scriptures, maybe first here. about the beauty and what the Word says about righteousness. Because it is, though it is such a simple concept, and even the very basic idea of religion tells us something of it, yet there's so much lawyer talk about, somewhat talk ourselves out of those very basic things that the Lord says we've got to have. There are many, many scriptures, and I'm going to just touch the surface this morning. There are many, many scriptures to guide us along the way here. And so, in Titus 2 and 11 and 12, Brother Jim brought a lesson this morning in Sunday school. It was so wholesome and so full of life and goodness. And a number of the scriptures he read, I'm going to read too. The Lord knows how to do that sometimes. Titus 2 and 11. It says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." Aren't you glad for the grace of God? Folks, we would not have a chance without the grace of God. Who doesn't know that? We don't have a chance. Of course we can't live holy. Of course we can't live righteously. Of course we don't have anything to boast over other people, because it is only the Lord that can change us and live within us. But He can. And Brother Jim brought out this morning so much about how that the John, the 15th chapter, where we find the vine, and how that if you're not connected to the vine, you'll dry up. You can't bear fruit not being connected. But if we are connected to the vine, folks, we can bear fruit and will. The Lord wants us to know that. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us, and this is what it teaches us, that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. You know what? Arm yourselves with this truth. Arm yourselves with the truths that are in the Word of God, because the world is set against the truth. And your flesh is set against the truth. So we better let the Lord arm us, that we might walk pleasing before the Lord. That we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us, that He might buy us back from the condition we had fallen into, that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people. Not weird, that's not what this peculiar means. It is a special people, is a people set aside for the Lord. Zealous of good works. It's part of a Christian life, isn't it? Good works. Works, part of a Christian life. If you read the Bible, works are part of a Christian life. Very much a part of a Christian life. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Paul tells Timothy, don't let anybody despise you because you're young. Timothy, tell them the truth. And that's what we want to learn this morning. Lord, teach us and bring us into a place with You where we can be faultless when we stand before Your throne. Is that okay? That's the word, is it not? You know, the scripture tells us, and I'm not going to turn to all of these places, but I'll mention the place they're at, most of them, for our benefit. Proverbs 14 and 34, it says, "Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people." Do you know that just cutting through all the lawyer talk, do you know that's just a basic principle of life? That righteousness exalts a nation. It exalts a family, a person. Righteousness takes us from that degraded person we would be and makes us in the image of Christ. That's quite an exalted place, isn't it? To be not somebody to set up on a throne, but somebody that is good for the world. That's an exalted place in the Lord. And so righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. There is not a downside to righteousness. The only downside you might see is that sometimes it's not always easy. It's not always easy to tell the truth. It's not always easy to humble ourselves and go back and say, I spoke too quickly and too harshly, and I'm sorry. Not wrong to say that, is it? In fact, doesn't that bring a warmth and affection? Doesn't that do something for situations? Doesn't it do something for people when righteousness guides their life? I want to read to you another scripture over here in 1 Peter 3. Oh, I love this set of scriptures here. We're just going to read one or two, but or three maybe. 1 Peter 3 and 10. For he that will love life. Listen to this. You want to love life? Sure you do. And see good days? Let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil. That means put it away. Hate it. Put it away from you. And do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it, or pursue it. Go after it. For the eyes of the Lord, listen to this. I've pled this verse many times. The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Do you know that scripture this morning? That puts the fear of God in me to do evil. I don't want the face of the Lord against me. Do you know this morning it says the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. So who are the righteous? Folks, it's pretty simple, isn't it? It's those people that are just. They're right before God, that keep a sweet spirit, that have the Spirit of the Lord within them. And there isn't any other way for us to to justify ourselves out of that. It's easy to do. Strong's, the original definition of that Greek word, I suppose, it says equitable, in character or act, by implication, innocent, holy, absolutely or relatively. Webster says of righteous, just, according to the divine law, and I'm not reading all of it. It denotes one who is holy in heart and observant of the divine commands in practice as a righteous man. The righteous in Scripture denotes the servants of God, the saints. In many places you find Paul or writing to the different congregations, and he mentions the saints. You know what that word means? The holy people. Folks, that's what the Lord's coming back for. And I do not in any way want to preach a message of condemnation today. But folks, unless we live in sin, we are condemned already if we live in sin. The Lord wants our lives to be righteous by His standards. And so the Lord help us tonight, today, that we will follow Him with all of our hearts today. Our life's pursuit should be to please God. That's our life's pursuit. Our whole life's pursuit to please God. And everything else falls in behind that. And the Lord works it all out because it's behind Him. And He works it all out. God does that. He loves to do that. And He loves it when people's pursuit is after Him. And to be approved of Him. That should be our pursuit. I want to look a little bit about some of the scriptures, just a few of them, that are mentioned when you bring this subject up. In the religious world today, they will almost immediately go to our righteousness is as filthy rags. How many of you have heard that many times? If you talk to people much, you've heard it plenty of times. Do you know this morning, I want to read that scripture to you, because folks, when we take scriptures in context, it makes all the sense in the world if we understand them. Isaiah 64 and 6. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. We all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. And there is none that calleth upon thy name. Now notice what it says here. There's none that calls upon your name. Is that talking about everybody? You know, there was a time that maybe we didn't call on his name. There was that time we needed to be saved. But folks, there is a time when we call upon his name. And we don't fit this category anymore. And it says here, there is none that calleth upon thy name that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. For thou hast hid thy face from us and hast consumed us because of our iniquities. But now, O Lord, thou art our Father. We are the clay and thou art potter, and we are all the work of thy hand. Do you know the Lord wants to take that iniquity, that clay that's broken, that didn't come through, and he wants to make a new vessel out of it, doesn't he? He wants to take it, and he wants to give us his righteousness. Now, is it our righteousness? All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. I want to tell you something. These people and their great profession with their iniquities stunk before God. That's what happens, folks. Many times people are professing to be followers of Christ, but their lives are full of iniquity and sin. Folks, that doesn't work before God. We want our lives to be approved of God. And so he has sent his son to redeem us and to bring us back to himself. So we repent of our sins, don't we? And we hook up to the vine. And we begin to drink of the grace of God. And he changes our life, doesn't he? The Lord does that. And so, can we say it's our righteousnesses? No, we don't have any righteousness of ourselves. But God's righteousness better be within our souls. We've read about already in Titus about in this present world we're to live righteously and godly. So these things, folks, we have to understand them in light of the mind of God. For us not to would be as that lawyer, and who is my neighbor? And what about this, that our righteousnesses are as filthy rags? Folks, I hate to hear that. I hate to hear that scripture put forth in a justifying way of sin. Verse 6 says, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. So they were full of sin, and that was their problem. I want to read to you Romans 3 and 10. And this is another, like this is a big deal in the world today. And it says, as it is written, quoting the Old Testament, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. But when you read the context of the whole chapter, you find that Paul was trying to convince the Jews that all of them were concluded in unrighteousness. The Gentiles, the Jews, and all. And he says here, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. That's not me and you. Folks, we're seeking after God, are we not? That is a whole different picture. When you understand, and we could go on and on studying why and all about that. I don't feel like this is the time for all of that. But I just want to bring out the simple and plain truths that the Lord gave us that we might understand his mind. Lawyer talk, I'm not going to go into that today. But I will tell you, he tells us very plainly to live righteous lives, doesn't he? Now, if we take this scripture out of context, then we're going to justify ourselves and we can live any way we want. But folks, it'll never stand before God. So it's good for us to have in our mind. In 1 Corinthians 6 and 9 is another scripture. I want us to think about what this is saying. 1 Corinthians 6 and 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? What does inherit mean? What is an inheritance? It's typically a right, more or less, isn't it? It's something that parents leave for their children or somebody leaves for someone else, and they leave an inheritance. And he says here, I know part of that inheritance is here, but folks, the bulk of it's over there, the kingdom of God. And he says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Now listen to Paul's words here. The Spirit of the Lord speaking. Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate. And you know, we have a lot of effeminate abusers of themselves with mankind today, don't we? The gay and lesbian lifestyle. Folks, the scriptures are very clear about those things. And it says, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Folks, an inheritance is a wonderful thing, but it is very limited. Many are excluded from an inheritance. The inheritance, the unrighteous, are going to be excluded from the inheritance. And so we want to know the Lord. We want to drink from His grace and let that vine fill us with the grace of God, that our lives might become more and more like the Lord, that righteousness that He is expecting at the great day is there. Not something we've done, not by works of righteousness that we've done, but we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. We're the workmanship of the Lord. He goes to work on our lives. He redeems us. He forgives us. He cleans us up. And then He lives in us a righteous life. The Lord wants to do that, doesn't He? And so this morning, I hope we can be challenged and not condemned. I hope we can see where the Lord wants to take us. Listen to the scriptures, the plain, simple, not lawyer talk, the plain, simple scriptures that we hear. And sometimes I've talked to people and I've wondered, okay, you give them these scriptures and every one of them, they have something to get around that scripture. It's lawyer talk. Folks, the scriptures plainly tell us the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. It plainly tells us that we come before the Lord in righteousness. And so let's look in Ephesians 4 and 22 to 29. It says here that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. He's talking about the old man, the old you. What I was before I was saved. Thankful I put that off. Which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that ye put on the new man. Now folks, righteousness exalts a nation. Righteousness brings real peace to situations, to people's lives, to families, to congregations. Righteousness brings those things. And so he says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. That's that new man. That's the new person. Of course, we were all as an unclean thing. Our profession before we received that cleaning from the Lord, of course, that's an unclean thing. But folks, the Lord wants to give us something that puts a light in our life. And when we get to eternity, we don't have to stand before God in shame. We can come before Him and He can say, as Paul said, I have fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. And now henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Which the judge, I'm not getting it perfect maybe, he's going to give me. Paul was convinced of that because his heart did not condemn him. He knew the Lord. Oh, folks, Let's know the Lord this morning. Let's let His ways live in our lives until we can come before Him without the condemnation of sin on our lives. We're always going to feel like we need to do better. We need to be more patient. But folks, sin must not spot our garment if we're going to come before the Lord. And it talks about that, without spot and blameless. And so we read on. Listen to the simple contrast that God gave us here. This is not lawyer talk. This is the simple contrast of righteousness and unrighteousness. And so he says here, you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Put away lying. Be angry and sin not. Get control of yourself by the grace of God, by the help of God. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Don't give a place to it. Don't lay there and simmer all night long, waiting to get back in the morning. If you have to be all night long, then be all night long praying for yourself. Folks, I'm going to tell you, I have done that. I have prayed through the night, Lord, help me to have a right spirit toward this person. Help me, Lord. Help me to truly forgive completely until I can love them actively, till I can cross the barriers. That's the way God wants to do it in us, folks. And we have to have His help. It is by the grace of God that we are able to have those things. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Wow. Works of righteousness. Works are part of your salvation. You better believe it. If you're going to be one of God's servants, you're going to have some good works in your life. And good works is wonderful. It comes back to bless everybody. It blesses the one you give to. It blesses the one you help. And then in turn it blesses you. It's one of the few things like love that you give out and you get more than you gave. That's the way it works this morning. And so when we look at the Lord's ways, let's don't look as if, oh, I don't think I can live for Him. Folks, if we don't think we can live for Him, another subject been on my mind for a while is the fear of God. We better do some things because we fear God. Yes. Folks, there's times I might have turned back, but I feared God. I wasn't going to turn back. I'm not going to meet God without being well and right before Him. I'm going to get on my knees and plead His blood and plead His help and His grace until He gives that to us. Oh, this morning, let's let righteousness from the Lord live in our lives. Give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Oh, what a blessing this morning. The Lord help us to have grace to minister to the hearers. You know how good that is? That's good stuff this morning. Remember, we are His workmanship. And if you want to read that, you can turn to Ephesians 2 and 8 to 10. But you know, it says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. We can't get good enough for that. We just have to get humble enough. We just have to get down and say, Lord, I did it. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. And you know what? He just longs to do that, doesn't he? He died for it. He gave himself in place of the wrath that should have been on us. He gave himself. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. I want to read Well, I already read all of that in Titus 2. I was going to read part of it and read some of it again. But 2 Timothy 2 and 22, it says, flee also youthful lust. To the youth I say, flee. Flee youthful lust. Don't hang around and try to resist them. Flee from them. Run from them. Put them away from you. And as you flee, but follow righteousness. Follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. I just want us to remember this morning, folks, righteousness is a good word. Righteousness is good. Everywhere it goes, it's good. The effect of righteousness. What's it say over there in Isaiah? Is peace, I believe, and assurance forever. There's just good things that come from righteousness. Oh, let's humble ourselves before the Lord and just, Lord, just wash over me. Just renew my strength. Help me to be one of your people. Follow peace with all men in holiness. Folks, that's Hebrews 12 and 14. Without which no man shall see the Lord. Did you know there isn't any man going to see the Lord without holiness? Did you know that? Look the word up and see what it means. It's talking about saints, folks. Talking about holy people that serve the Lord in righteousness. And without holiness, no man's going to see the Lord this morning. I just share the word with you. There's a little more that I want to share. Matthew 5, I'm just going to quote that one and then move to Matthew 23 and 2. In Matthew 5 and 20, it says, for I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Do you know what their problem was? I want to look over at Matthew 23 and 2. It wasn't that they were righteous in themselves. It's that they were so unrighteous. They were so unrighteous. And you look in Matthew 23 and 2, it says, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not after their works, for they say and do not. But do ye after their work, let's see, for they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. For all their works they do for to be seen of men. That would be a pretty egregious offense, wouldn't it? All their works they do so people will see it. He said they make broad their phylacteries. You know what a phylactery is? It was a thing that they put around their wrist. And I believe it was still called a phylactery on their head. They used the interpretation back there in Deuteronomy 6, where it talks about that you shall bind them upon you put them on your forehead and on your arms and all of the, and so they would bind these scriptures and they would make them big and pretty and to be seen of men, and they were really holy. But the problem was, he said, they're doing it to be seen of men. And Jesus, what God really wanted them to do was he really wanted them to bind those scriptures in their heart. He wanted them to see it all the time, not put it on their forehead. He wanted them to have it all the time with them, not wear it on their clothes. At least I don't think that's what he meant at all. He meant for them to have those words of life all the time before them. Teach them to your children as you walk by the way, he said. All those things, that's all in Deuteronomy 6. But we come back here to Matthew 23. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments and love the uppermost rooms at feasts and the chief seats in the synagogues. This is what the Lord had against the Pharisees and the scribes. It wasn't that they were good people. It's that they were full of their sins. And greetings in the markets. And to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi. And dropping on down to verse 13, but woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. He said, ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. You know, really sounds good, doesn't it? Somebody's really praying, they're in earnest, they're praying and praying. Folks, these folks were just wanting attention. They just wanted somebody to pat them on the back. That's not going to make it to heaven, is it? Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. You compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. And he goes on to talk about them swearing by the temple and their hypocrisy and all of that. And he calls that out to them. And he said, woe unto you in verse 23, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. For these ye ought to have done and not to leave the other undone. Ye blind guides which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. You see, their heart wasn't in what they were doing. Their heart was full of sin. And so this morning, why did the Lord dislike what the Pharisees and hate what they did? Because they were hypocrites. Because inside, he said, you're whited sepulchers. You're like a grave. It's beautiful on the outside, but inside it's got dead men's bones in it. Yeah, and he brought all of that to them, trying to wake them, working with that very clearly and very plainly. So this morning, the Lord help us that we live for the Lord in such a way that we might be accounted worthy. Luke 21 and 36, watch ye therefore and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. 1 Peter 4 and 18, and if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Folks, this morning I just want to challenge us that we get a hold of the Lord in such a way that what he does in us is a real work. That our lives really do have righteousness. That we don't have to hide our face when we think about coming before God or when we speak to other people. Folks, the Lord wants to give that to us. He does that by us humbling before him and just confessing who we are and telling the Lord, Lord, I just want to be one of your little children. I just want a right heart. I want a right spirit. I want to know that I'm doing right with people. I don't want to be a hypocrite. I don't want to. Folks, this morning, God is calling today. He's calling on you and me to take up our cross and go to heaven. He's calling on us to hook up to the vine, that we might be fed as a vine is fed. That fruit just might come onto our vine. Not by our works, but by the grace of God that comes down into our hearts and lives and makes us kind people. That makes us gentle people. He didn't say that just for some personalities, folks. He told us all to be meek. He tells us the consequences, the blessings to the meek. And it's for us to humble ourselves and get a hold of God and let him fill our lives with who he is. And I want to be that way too. You pray for me. Amen.